gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends. Welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 44 for New Comic Book Day, February 22nd, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Ken, and sitting along with me here in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, everybody.
So, Vern, what have you been up to this week?
School. Got a little bit of food poisoning. You know, same old, same old.
Oh, that's terrible, man.
Yeah, it is. I hate it, but at least I'm used to it.
See, you got to stop eating fast food. It may not be food poisoning. It may not be food poisoning. It may be just that your body doesn't want you to do it anymore.
It's always McDonald's. When I got this in high school, it was McDonald's.
See, you got to stick with Taco Bell.
You see, when you say Taco Bell to McDonald's, I don't think either one's a best option.
Oh, no, there's a better option.
Real food?
But, dude, I was looking at – we got a huge week in news.
Oh, we got a lot of news. It was funny because a couple weeks ago, we were like, man, we can't find anything. Now we're getting swarmed.
Yeah, everything is coming out all at once.
Yeah, which isn't bad. It's giving us a lot to talk about.
Which is good. We have a heavy news week, but we only had two shows on this two shows out. Powerless was out too, but did you watch episode 2 of Powerless?
I did.
What'd you think of it?
Some of the characters I wanted to punch in the face just because they were being a little bit of a bully, but, you know, that was the point of their character. But besides that, it was still pretty solid.
Yeah? I think it was better than the first one.
I just like how they did the theme of fantasy football, but in this case, a fantasy superhero, or whatever it was called.
The Fantasy Superhero League, or whatever they're called, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're definitely not afraid to name drop heroes and stuff in that show.
Nate, when they were talking about Flash for like the whole episode, I'm like, oh, geez, you guys were talking about Batman, then Joker, now Flash, so.
They don't want you to forget that this is rooted in the DC universe.
Right, and I like how they're not just using characters that's in the TV universe. They're using characters everywhere.
Yeah.
That gives them brownie points from me.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, it looks like this one was a little bit better than the first one, and hopefully they'll just keep going like that.
Yeah. This one had more of a deeper plot.
Yeah.
Well, not so much a deeper plot. They have more fun with this one.
So, like I said, once it gets its legs, hopefully it'll actually have some staying power.
Yeah. I won't mind to get a second season of this, honestly. At least not now. I don't know how the rest of the season's going to go, but for the first two episodes, they get thumbs up for me.
Yep. Well, before we get too much farther into other stuff, this one piece of news I found, it wasn't a whole lot on it, except for it was announced, and it really doesn't fit into anything else. But DC Entertainment, or Comics, or the main parent company, has declared that June 3rd is going to be Wonder Woman Day.
Yes, I seen you post that.
Yeah, whatever that means, I'm not sure. That's all they said, is it's going to be Wonder Woman. And it is the day after Wonder Woman opens the theaters, so it kind of makes sense. But so I'm assuming, Batman Day and some of the other ones, they'll have events at different comic shops, more than likely, some special editions of different books, possibly.
I was thinking it's probably going to be just like Batman Day and Superman. Did we actually call it Superman Day? I know we had a big celebration of Superman, but I just remember people talking about it. It wasn't something that we planned yet. I think it was the first one, probably. That's why. Yeah. Batman, we expected it because of what happened with Superman. Now we're getting a Wonder Woman Day.
So more than likely, it'll have a lot of the same similar events you see on Batman Day. So, but we'll find out more as we get closer to it. That's still what 4 or 5 months apart away.
Yeah,
or more. So, but let's get into some of the TV shows we did see this week, other than Powerless. There's only two that came out, and one of them was Supergirl, and we got to see the Luthers return.
Yes, we did. This was a solid episode.
Yeah, it was fun stuff. But we got to see see the trial of Lillian Luther. And we find out that Lena is actually the star witness against her, which we already knew was going to happen.
Right.
And it's interesting because somehow, the beginning of this episode, Metallo gets a kryptonite dropped off to him in prison.
Yeah, and that was the whole incrimination of, I was about to say Lillian Luther, There's too many L's. I literally went to too many L's with this episode.
Yeah, that's why I'm talking about that. Yeah, that's what happened with Lena. Lena's who you're thinking.
Yeah. Thank you, geez. When Lena Luthor, everything that's happening with her, they just suspect and she's going to be like the other Luthers that run the family, just like her dad, just like her brother, just like her mother. But thing is, she is still adopted. She's not blood. Even though she has these evil tendencies or these evil people around her, not yet. The way they ended it on the last scene is still like it could happen, which it probably will. But for now, you still want to be a little sympathetic for her. She's not like them.
Yeah. Who, you said Lena? No, Lena is, remember, Lena is Luthor by blood. Remember,
you find out she's,
no, she has a different mother, but she, Lionel is still her father. Remember?
Oh, okay.
She was, Lionel and his mistress's daughter.
Ah, and that's what they're talking about at the beginning of the episode.
Yes, that's what they're talking about in there. But, we find out that Lex, even though he's in prison,
of course,
has these vaults all over the place with all kinds of stuff to take down superheroes and aliens. Did you see some of the stuff that was actually in that vault when they opened it?
His suit.
Exactly. It was great. We actually saw the green power suit, the green and purple power suit that Lex Luthor uses in the comics forever.
And you know the funniest thing? Me and my mom watching this today, and she said, "What is that?" I'm like, "It's his super suit." She's like, "Lex never had a suit." I was like, "Yeah." And I had to think about it. She watched this the movies.
Yeah.
He never had a suit in the movies.
No, that was created mid-80s, wasn't it? Actually, I think that was brought in for the Superpowers line and then brought into mainstream.
Right, and then they kept using it over and over, and we would see it in Justice League Unlimited, Justice League cartoons. I think the deepest he ever had was just that color of the purple and green. That was in the Super Friends.
Yeah. Well, that's now the Superman suit that he has is basically a variation on that.
Right, just with the blue and red now.
Exactly. It's basically the same suit, would just add the Superman stuff to it.
Yeah.
And then, except for now, in Superwoman, you see Lena Luthor as Ultrawoman has the green and purple power suit.
Okay, and they're taking that more so from what he had in the beginning.
Yeah. Have you? Oh, you've not read one Superwoman, have you?
I've read it. I just haven't read it. I don't get it every week like you do.
Ah, okay. Superwoman's awesome, man, because that's basically where all the characters you're not getting in either Action or Superman are in Superwoman. All the Superman family characters.
You were showing me that at work yesterday. So, yesterday, a couple days ago.
Yeah.
You were showing that to me. It's like, oh, man, I haven't seen this character in forever.
That's where you get Superwoman, which is Lana Lang. You get Steel. You get Bibbo was in there. It's just, there's
good
a huge cast of characters in this one. So, but no, Luthor's was cool. It wasn't as heavy as Arrow was this week. But it had some great stuff in it. And then the very end of it, I had to whoop a little bit. I mean, you see the little flashy lights in the start flying around the room.
Oh, Mr. Mozilla.
Oh, come on. You can't say it?
Mr. Mozilla.
It's Miss Yes. Mix Yes Pidlick, I think. Mix Yes Pidlick.
See, if I ever was on the show or doing another review of this, I'll probably just spell his name out.
Yeah, go ahead and try that.
Hey, if I can bring it up, I'll say it. He interrupted that romantic moment between her and Mon-El.
Yes, she like, decided finally it's time to kiss Mon-El.
Finally, I'm like, either Jimmy and Mon-El, come on, Carl, you gotta pick one of these guys.
Well, it looks like she did finally decide to make a choice, but next week that Mon-El, that's gonna be challenged a little bit, because Mr. Mixius Pidlick shows up and says, "Kara Danvers, I love you."
So is he going to be like a crazed fan, just as we were talking about with, Larry from Teen Titans?
It's possible. What do you remember? Now, he's been in just about every incarnation of a super character on television since it's ever been made. I mean, I remember him all the way back, but where do you remember seeing him first?
Was that the Galactic... Superhero? It was the Super Friends, but it was the one when Cyborg and Firestorm got introduced.
Yeah, okay. That was either Superpowers or it was Galactic Heroes or something like that.
Yeah, Galactic Heroes.
So, I remember, I think back from the original Super Friends, that he would show up and cause all this mischief and stuff, and you had to get him to say his name backwards to make him disappear.
Right. Which I wonder if that's... Oh, geez. I just looked him up, and there's a little bit of a picture, at least half of it, for next week, and he is wearing Superman's costume.
Nice.
Oh, there's a trailer out for next week.
Oh, we'll have to watch that later.
Yeah. But, you usually gotta say his name backwards, and he'll go poof and fly away back to where he needs to be.
He's from the fifth dimension.
We'll go back to the Fifth Dimension because back in the, what was it, back in the 90s, I remember him in that little purple suit with the top hat on.
Well, yeah, he had the green suit with the purple top hat.
Wait, no.
Depending on who was drawing him.
Okay, because I was going to say for the animated series, it was reversed, I guess the colors were.
Okay. Well, he was in the animated series. He was also, live action, he goes all the way back to the original, the old Superboy TV series back from the late 80s, early 90s. You remember that at all? They had a Saturday morning live action TV show.
See, I had to catch on Boomerang when I came home from school.
Ah, well, he was in the live-action Superboy. Lois and Clark, he made it at least one appearance, if not more. He was in Smallville. He's now going to be on here. Like I said, if there's an incarnation of the Super Family on television, he's been in it at least once.
So what you're telling me, he's basically Superman's Penguin.
Probably.
Or really. He had to be in every single incarnation on TV with Superman, which isn't bad.
I'm trying to remember what... They use this guy. Yeah.
Who portrayed him in Smallville?
I don't remember.
Because I can't remember him being on that show right now, off the top of my head.
He was in like one or two episodes. He was wearing like a suit, too. It was different. It was weird.
I'm just going to pull a picture up on Google. I'll probably remember.
It was like sixth or seventh season.
And I have that on DVD, so I definitely seen it.
I've been working my way through it on Hulu. I'm up to like episode 18 of season one right now.
Okay, so Hulu?
Yeah, on Hulu.
The only thing I needed from Hulu was season 1 through 4. Everything else, luckily, me and my mother bought sell.
I have 1 and 2 on DVD.
Yeah, they put out so many seasons from there. Who knows? Arrow might beat them one day.
Quite possibly. So, but before we get into Arrow, we got a little bit of Terry Hatcher's been teasing some stuff, and I have a theory.
Yes.
We know Terry Hatcher is coming to Supergirl. And they've revealed that she's going to be, I guess, the big bad or the main villain for the end of the season. She's got a multi-story arc, and Kevin Sorbo has actually been hired to come in, and it's been confirmed that he's playing her husband. So together, they're the big bads. Now, most people looking at this season are looking at, so they probably have something to do with Cadmus. That's basically been the big bad so far, right?
Yeah, more likely has to deal with Cadmus.
Well, I have a different theory on this, possibly. And it kind of goes back to the episode a couple of weeks ago where we had where they went off planet with Mon-El and Supergirl and they had to, roulette and the, they were enslaving all the humans. Well, at the end of that, during that whole episode, you see that the doctor and everybody keeps telling everybody don't shoot Mon-El for some reason. Now, according to Mon-El, he was the bodyguard for the Prince of Daxam and the Prince tricked him and forced him to go off planet. Now, one possible theory is the fact that, everybody's looking for him. Because he left the prince behind. But I had a theory that maybe he is the Prince of Daxam, and he swapped the story so that no one else would know.
Kind of like what Megan did.
Yeah, kind of. But, my theory is that he's the Prince of Daxam. That's why no one would shoot him, because they recognized him. And then the bounty hunters that showed up at the end of that episode were looking for him because someone is still looking for the prince.
Right.
But what's my next theory is the fact that based on that, what if Terry Hatcher and Kevin Sorbo are actually the king and queen of Daxam, and they're after him for some reason? They're after their son.
Yeah, they want to get him back.
What do you think on that one?
As now, I told you at work, when you suggest that to me, it sounds pretty legit.
Yeah? I've not heard this talked about anywhere else yet, so. But the picture Terry Hatcher put on her personal Twitter.
I just want to say, so guys, since you haven't heard that anywhere else, you heard it here first. DC Surprise Podcast came up with this theory.
And when we're all wrong, we'll say, okay, I was all wrong. But that's okay.
That's all right. But if we're right, we'll tell you so.
Well, comicbook.com actually put this up, and it was originally came out of, it was originally on Terry Hatcher's Twitter feed. You see, she's taking a picture of her getting, like, fitted for wardrobe. And it says underneath, well, I'm definitely getting some love in the wardrobe room at CW Supergirl. Can't think of a more fun place to be. And it shows she's wearing, it looks like a black dress with sleeves that are like a tan with a pattern on them of some sort. And they're fitting a breastplate to her.
Yeah, it looks something like a body armor.
That's what it kind of looks like. So for me, I mean, if she's in charge of Cadmus, it might be something like this, but that looks like it could be some kind of an alien costume also. Maybe an alien battle armor?
Yeah, definitely see that happening. And, of course, if she's from Krypton or even battle on Krypton, they're going to have some type of battle armor.
So make note, we're going to have to retweet this picture so that everybody can see once we get this episode up.
Let me go do that now, actually.
Okay. So, Super Friends, you would have already seen this on our Twitter, but now we're talking about it here. But it's stuff to think about.
Definitely.
I am definitely excited, though, of seeing Terry Hatcher on the show.
And this is going to be a pretty, like I say, this is a pretty legit thing you just put out there. If you got a theory like this and no one else has already brought up, it might be why no one else has brought up. It's a little bit under hush-hush.
It's possible.
But, So, and if anything else changes, we'll let you guys know, because we had the same theory a couple times with the Flash of who could be the main villain. And most of the time, fingers point to the right thing.
Well, this makes sense to me, so I don't know. Like I said, a lot of people are seeing her as probably having something to do with Cadmus farther up than Lillian Luthor was. But I'm thinking this will still have something to do with Lillian Luthor and Cadmus, because if an alien force decides to show up at the planet and threatens to attack, then it makes Cadmus look like, oh, well, see, we were doing the right thing all along.
Mm-hmm. Which, the thing about Cadmus, I don't hate them. I think they're still doing stuff for the right reason. But it's like, guys, you're being a
they're
little
doing it the wrong
too...
way.
Yeah, I get where your morals are and you're trying to do the right thing, but come on, you're still hurting lives. They may not be from planet Earth, but...
Yeah. People is still people.
Yeah.
So, but the next one, actually, let's go ahead and move on to Arrow, which was a very, very heavy episode this week.
Oh my goodness, yeah, I had my mom sit down and had to watch this one. Yeah. After like the first 10 minutes, I was like, hey mom, you gotta come in here and see this.
I mean, this, they were beating you over the head with, the idea of gun control and whether or not we should have it. And I kind of like the way they, at the end of this, they kind of, they were able to find an actual, like, middle ground, which seems like in most political circles right now, that's a very hard thing to find.
Yeah.
Because, but we start the episode off with Thea coming back. She's back in town and she finds all the new changes. How Quentin's back. Quentin Lance is back as deputy mayor. And he has a new assistant. A new assistant deputy mayor, Renee, which is Wild Dog, is his assistant deputy mayor.
So she did not think she was going to see that coming.
Yeah. But
with Ollie having a new girlfriend.
Uh-huh. A lot of things have changed in the time she was gone.
He said, I should have never left. I should have stayed.
Yeah. But as Quentin's leaving to, I forget what he had. He had to go meet some aldermen or something. And everybody else was in the office. Some guy comes in and starts shooting up the office at City Hall. Totally wrecks the place. Killed like 6 and put like 20 in the hospital.
Yeah, he killed 7 people.
But then the whole rest of the episode is about finding this guy and debating whether or not the gun should be accessible. And the interesting thing, this was... Arrow was in this episode for like one... for one scene, but most of this episode, as Thea was saying, was this is a problem that he can't fix as Arrow. He has to fix this one as the mayor.
Right.
And
this is where I thought that was great, because for something like this, dealing with real life issues, this is not something that's in the made up world of Arrow or any DC comics.
Uh-huh.
This is something that everybody has to deal with day to day. And we don't have people dressed up in masks doing this. We have each other without masks to deal with
exactly.
this. So I thought it was great that Mayor Queen had to do something instead of Arrow being a vigilante.
So, and then also we get the actual backstory for Wild Dog and how he became Wild Dog.
I was going to say, I love that. I think they should do this more because, as I said, I don't know. I've gotten a little tired of sometimes the flashbacks of just Arrow going back, trying to figure out his origins, which is fine, but I don't think we needed every single episode. It was really refreshing to get another flashback with a different character.
Exactly. It was interesting to see that basically what created Wild Dog was, we know he's got anger issues. He always had fighting problems.
Always.
But it looks like he had actually got himself out. And I like the fact that they straight up in this that he's never done drugs. He was always a fighter. He was always getting into trouble, but he's never touched drugs.
Right. He should always stay away from that, which we find out in this episode. He does have a child, and he did have a wife. He had a family.
Exactly.
But his wife – well, and then we also found out this is why he wears his jersey and his hockey mask.
Yes.
He was going – this episode, in this mini flashback, to sum it up to you, he had a wife and a kid. He always – wanted his gun for protection. This is the thing about Wild Dog. No matter what situation he was in, he said, hey, it wouldn't hurt to have a gun. You don't have to use it, but what if you do and you don't have it? What do you do? So him and his wife get into a little argument about he was going to take his gun to the hockey game with his daughter, and she's saying, no, we said it's going to stay here at home because this was a home protection. Even though I don't want it here, I can't agree with you on that. So she said, I don't want you taking our daughter by yourself with that thing. Then this is when he gets into argument, why aren't you going? She says, oh, I have a bad headache. And he says, no, you don't. You're using it again. And she doesn't think he actually believes her when she says, I don't. Turns out she is using. She still had the drugs in the house. He found it about a week or so ago. But she stays home as him and his daughter goes to the game. They get back. The house is almost trashed, completely trashed, basically. And the drug dealer of the wife came back because she didn't pay him up for the full price. He wanted to get his money back. And doing all this confrontation, he goes to get his gun out of the safe, say he'll give him the money when he's actually going to try to shoot the guy, which he does eventually shoot to him. But the daughter comes in the room, messes everything up, kind of gets everybody startled. Wild Dog did take him out. That was his purpose. He did protect his family, except once the guy fell with the gun in his hand, he wound up shooting his wife. So, it kind of surprised me when he was arguing with Mr. Terrific, saying guns aren't bad, the people are bad. But the thing was, he shot the guy. The gun still went off. So it kind of goes back on guns are still bad.
Yeah.
Which might have been the purpose of the show still, just he didn't want to admit to it.
Go ahead.
I'll just say after the wife died, everything that happened, the legal system saw him not being a fit parent and the household being very dangerous. So they take the daughter away and put her in a foster home, which it seems like a very nice foster home. But once we get toward the end of the episode, no one knew that he has a kid or even had a wife. We just think he's a street guy.
Yeah.
And this is how he wanted to become a vigilante. He lost his daughter. He wants to do something different. He saw the news report of when Arrow took out Damian Dark. He's like, hey, if he can do it, I can do it. And this is where it ties into the beginning of the season. But toward the end of the episode, you hear Curtis and him talking, and he's like, hey, man, sorry I got in your face. We always get in each other's face, but you know what? I can still help you. I know a good lawyer. You need to get your daughter back. So how about we work on doing that?
So he's thinking about that now. Well, the cool thing
this is probably going to be played out in a couple episodes.
This whole episode, they used Curtis and Renee as actually two sides of the gun issue.
Yes.
The people for total control and nobody's allowed to have them on one side. And there should be no control and anybody can get them on the other side. That doesn't matter what type of control you do, you're still going to have these problems. Which here we're not going to get into that much because that's a very, very hot button issue.
Very hot
politically.
Topic.
We're going to stay out of the politics of it. It was just I thought it was interesting how they solved the problem here. That they actually sat down with people that are someone who's on both sides of that and worked up a legislation that it looks like it was so that there is some the way the rule ended up being, they didn't tell any details, but they said there is some restriction while not restricting the people that are supposed to be able to get them anyway. I don't know how they did it, but it looked like they found a middle ground instead of going one way or the other. This episode stayed dead center in the middle, which I thought was nice.
Yeah, I had to ask my mom of how did this, what do they mean by this? It didn't really make any sense to me. We might see a little bit more throughout, or they just wanted to stay, as you said, a middle ground. So maybe they want to keep us a little bit in the dark, but I'm trying to say there is a good cause and a good solution for all of this.
Mm-hmm. But, find out on the third part of the story that Dinah has now, she was staying in the Hive where they were keeping Diggle for a while. Remember when he was hiding out?
Mm-hmm.
They have the warehouse or whatever.
That's not a place you want to keep going back to. This is something that's temporary. If you have the freedom to do so, leave that place.
Yeah. So she actually he talks her into getting an apartment, but also she ends up applying for a new job with the Star City Police Department, returning back to her roots.
Yep, and now she can try to live at least somewhat of a normal life.
Yeah. So it looks like they're going to have a new person working in the police department working with them.
And that's good. And they can also get a little bit more of an insight of what's going on.
Exactly. So, but that was most of Arrow for this week. But we have a couple of other pieces of TV news in here, too. Why don't you bring the first one? Because you put that article up, and then I'll do the second one.
Okie doke. There we go. Lucifer. Hey, guys. Lucifer's doing really good. it got renewed.
I still
got to
watch that at some point.
I still haven't got to season 2. I only got to season 1. Now we're getting to season 3. But that's what streaming services are for. Fox has renewed DC Vertigo's comic-based series Lucifer for a third season. Season 2 resumes airing back on May 1st. So we still got a little bit of time before all that. But Fox Entertainment's president, Dave Madden, stated that Lucifer is one of those rare shows that stars a strong and great cast of people and coming together. So it's not really a surprise that we got a third season. Not much is really said about this, but Lucifer follows the title character portrayed by Tom Ills and decides to become a sacrifice for the world to take up the residence in Los Angeles, same thing we know. It's going to be the same thing that we've been seeing in season one, season two, but we're going to continue the story in season three. So DC, once again, doing great on TV.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of doing great on TV, we have some actual some real Black Lightning news.
Yes, now, this is a confirmed.
Yes, this
confirmed
is
confirmed news. No more in the blue. We know what's going to happen now, which I'm very excited about.
Up to this point, we found out that Fox had Greg Berlanti work up a write-up and work up an idea for the show for Black Lightning for Fox. They passed on it, so Berlanti started shopping it around in Warner Brothers. Well, it's confirmed that the CW has picked it up and has a pilot order. That means that basically just means gives them the money to make a pilot and see if this has any legs. So this doesn't confirm that it's going to be on the air, but if you look at Greg Berlanti's track record, this has got a really good chance here. They've picked up everything he's done so far.
Yeah, and I'm just me going off here. I think, just when we sang with Powerless, and as we said, we liked the show, but some critics disagreed. Hey, it got back on TV for a second episode.
Exactly.
With the strong fan support Black Lightning's going to get, I really think it's going to stay on TV for a while. Plus, it's on the CW. This is a roster full of good superhero shows that's been doing great for at least a good two seasons.
Well, remember back at the beginning of the season, they said they were not looking for any more superhero shows. But the CW does keep their eyes open and keeps the options open. Well, this is something that is an option that they've been given now.
Yes, and I also was thinking if they weren't going to make him a standalone superhero show, put him on Legends or on Arrow at this point. But I'm really happy he's getting his own TV show.
Well, I would not be surprised if they, because they've not finished the seasons yet. I would not be surprised shoot the pilot and the and the CW execs like it and want to go ahead with the series, that we might get a cameo late in the season of one of the shows. Probably not for Legends, because Legends only has a couple episodes left.
And plus, the way they're doing with the time travel thing, I don't think that would work either. Flash would be great.
Either Flash or Arrow.
Yeah.
Or you throw a curveball and put him in the Supergirl universe of Earth 38.
You know what? I could see him fitting in there better just because we already got Legends is in our main universe of Flash and Arrow. Supergirl's in a different world. So she could use some help from a different character. And if that's the case, we can kind of combine each one. We may not have the same universe with all these characters, but if you keep switching them up a little bit, they'll come together. We had a Justice League episode for an invasion.
And we have another crossover episode coming up with Supergirl and Flash in March.
Yep. Yeah, it's funny. When I saw the ending of Supergirl, I was wondering, is that music? No, not yet. Not yet.
That's what I thought, too. I was thinking, wait a minute, is that Flash? But no, wait, that's not until March.
Right.
But we actually have character breakdowns. The first four characters, we have a full breakdown. This is actually from the Hashtag Show on CBR's website. That's Comic Book Resource. We got four character breakdowns that have made their way online. We have Black Lightning himself, which is Jefferson Pierce. Now, according to this, it actually sounds like a casting, because I've done some movie work and stuff. This actually looks like a casting thing for casting agents to look for. Jefferson Pierce, male African-American, late 30s to 50, handsome, fit, with an athletic build, former three-time medal decathlon winner, who is now the principal of a high school in South Central L.A., a father figure to his student and hero to the local community. Jefferson is charming, charismatic, smart, and has both warmth and humor. He is devoted to his two daughters and remains deeply in love with his ex-wife, Lynn. He also has a great passion for justice and a quick temper, which he has spent years learning how to control. Think Idris Elba, and that's the lead of the show.
And I was going to get the next one if you want
to
go back.
Okay, go ahead. Now, the next ones they have Jennifer, Anissa, and Lynn. Jennifer and Anissa are supposed to be his daughters, and Lynn is his ex-wife.
And for Jennifer, her description is female, African-American, legal 18 to play 16. Jefferson's youngest daughter. Jennifer's a school scholar athlete, beautiful, lean, athletic runner build. She is entitled as the feminist of the Pierce family, independent, outspoken, with a wild streak, series regular.
Then Anissa was female, African-American, to play 22. Jefferson's older daughter, beautiful, quick-witted, and intelligent, intense and passionate. Anissa has a great respect for her father. Anissa balances the demands of med school with her duties as a part-time teacher at Jefferson's high school. And she's also a series regular.
It's not the same for the next one. Lynn here is a female African-American, mid-30s to 50s, Exodus, confidence, and intelligence. beautiful but not to be trifled with, can exhibit both great emotional depth as well as flirtatious, mischievous side as well, a series regular.
So it looks like from these, one, we knew this was going to be focus on black characters.
Oh, yeah.
Which is something the CW doesn't have a lot of right now. And you know, right, in this day and age where everybody's focusing on diversity everywhere you can, this has that built in, kind of.
I think that might be another reason why they had to pick this up. It was like, hey, we got this side, we got this side, we got this side. Now we need something else, and I'm glad they put this on here. In my mind, the best way I can picture this show panning out is going to be a live-action Static Shock.
Yeah?
Which actually, I think Static Shock, they characterized him from Black Lightning?
I don't know.
At least it felt like it, although they had different comic book writers at the time. But I know when he did cross over to DC, that's who his supposed to be his hero he looked up to was.
Okay.
So, well, or at least they said it was similar to him when he was in the Teen Titans.
A couple other things that jump out, that this is the title character. He's supposed to be in his mid-30s up to 50 years old. That means they're looking for an older hero in this one.
Which, it makes sense he's going to be older because we have Wild Dog. He has a kid.
Yeah.
But Diggle also has a kid. But with their age, you can see they might be mid-30s, you know, early, late 20s. But if his daughters are already, like, 18, of course he should probably be close to 50, you know?
Exactly. Well, he's got one daughter that's 22, so...
The age is going to bounce up there. He's seen some things.
Exactly. Well, actually, that makes sense if you look at... They actually have the series synopsis here, the idea of it. It says here that Black Lightning centers on Jefferson Pierce. He made his choice. He hung up the suit and his secret identity years ago, but with a daughter hellbent on justice and a star student being recruited by a local gang, he'll be pulled back into the fight as the wanted vigilante and DC legend Black Lightning. So this looks like he was Black Lightning, but he decided to give it up for the father and to be a principal.
Right.
So he's had his powers for a long time. You're not going to have, like all these other shows, Arrow, Flash, all of those. We've seen the origin of the character because you're starting off when the character's brand new.
Right.
So this is going to be one that he's been the hero before, and he already retired.
And I like that. As I said, when I'm going into movies and stuff, being a comic book fan, I don't mind origin stories. Don't get me wrong. You need to see it. Plus, even if you know the character, you kind of need a new interpretation of how they're going to perceive him. But if you do know a character enough, you're like, hey, just put them in there. You can create a new story. And with this, we can always have flashbacks anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's
it's not like flashbacks don't exist.
Yeah. And the cool thing with this is it's going to be you'll still get his origin somewhere in here, but it doesn't have to dominate the show. You don't have all him making all the mistakes of a brand new hero and things like that, and show all the training and all that, because he doesn't. And if I remember it, though, in the comic books, didn't his kids get powers also eventually?
Yes, that's what I was going to bring up in a little bit.
So we can see the origin of his kids getting powers.
And I'm looking a little bit into him on Wikipedia and whatnot. He is classified as a metahuman. And again, I think this may be another reason why CW picked him up. I don't know if they could use the term metahuman anywhere else.
I don't
unless
know.
Unless it was on the CW. You know, I don't
no,
know.
No, they can. Might, they can. Metahuman they can. Is a, okay. As long as they are licensed from DC, Metahuman's a DC Comics thing.
Okay. But so. This, if he is on there, this will make even more sense.
Yeah?
To put him on there. His daughter is Thunder, and his other daughter is Lightning. Okay. So there's Thunder and Lightning.
Kind of makes sense.
Right. This isn't the same Thunder and Lightning we got from Teen Titans. They are a lot different.
Exactly. But like we said before, Super Friends, we're going to keep an eye on this and watch it, because this looks like this is going to be the next thing we get coming to the television. Now, there's still that cryptic tweet that who was it? Or that Jeff, was it Jeff Johns around New Year's, said something about there's news coming?
Yes.
So we still don't know. I don't think, something in my gut says this is not what he was talking about.
Same here. Just doesn't feel right. This is something fans already knew about.
Yeah, we already knew this was coming. It was already in the works. There's something else coming that we don't know about yet.
Which I'm so curious for, because it has been under hush-hush. There's not one thing that we got to say what it could be.
Uh-huh. So I'm wondering almost if it's not something for one of the streaming services.
Sorry, Ken. This is going a little off-topic, guys. Young Justice. That's what you're trying to get me to think about earlier.
I told you you'd remember it halfway through the show. Super Friends, you'll get more of that story here in a little bit.
Well, I'm scrolling down Thunder's wiki page on DC Comics, and then I'm just scrolling down, and some other pages come up, and I see a picture of The Simpsons, the Gotham Sirens, and Young Justice. And I was like, wait a minute. Oh! Okay.
Like I said, I told you you're going to kick yourself hard when you found out, when you remembered what it was.
Well, good thing I was on the internet, though, right?
Yep. We'll get to that one here in a couple of minutes, Super Friends. But, no, like I said, something in my gut says this is not what Jeff Johns was teasing us with. Like I said,
yeah,
what's the chances?
So
we know our distinguished competition over at Marvel has a couple of series on Netflix and one coming to Hulu already. But Amazon Amazon and a couple other ones don't have any superhero shows yet. Now, you know they're probably looking into it also. So what's the chances that they're talking about a superhero show for one of the streaming services? And just because they have a Marvel show doesn't mean Hulu or one of the other ones can't pick up a DC show also. Most of these DC and CW shows are on Netflix already.
Right. And they seem like they already got that deal set up for not just – as we all know with Netflix, once a season is done on TV, we have to wait until the next season is ready to air before we get it on Netflix. With DC, if I'm correct,
not
then they make
newer,
the deal where after it's off of the CW network for the last episode, then we'll get it directly to Netflix.
Yeah, it's 8 days after the final episode airs, it goes to Netflix. So here in March, when Legends ends, 8 days after that, you can actually stream the season.
Good.
So that'll be – I believe that's the first one that's going there. Because that's the first one to end since the deal has started.
And we're just waiting for other deals to come up.
Exactly. So, but next one's actually cinematic news, and this one's that you brought this one up. It's an interesting speculation.
Whoops. Of course. I exit out of our docs.
Ah.
I got too many things pulled up here. Give me one sec.
Okay.
And there we go. Now, this is something I had. If you had told me this a year ago, I would have said, yeah, right.
It kind of works, though.
Oh, yeah, I think this will work perfectly. It's crazy enough to work, literally, and the team's crazy.
Well, that's the team's crazy. The movie is going to be about crazy stuff, and I think the director is a little on the crazy side, too. But
This is something that literally blew up this morning. I was looking at this early once I pulled up my phone. It just popped up on my feed. So Mel Gibson may be joining Warner Brothers for directing. As much as he pooped on Batman vs. Superman, I know a lot of people did, but with him, you knew he wouldn't go back on his word. Turns out the Hacksaw Ridge nominated director may be signed to Suicide Squad. He did talk to them, and he definitely put out that this was their first date with Warner Bros., and he's going to talk to them about directing the next Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah, so
David
it looks
Ayer.
Like they're talking to him about it.
Right. There's a high possibility now. Plus, since he's nominated for 6 Oscars, he definitely has room to talk with people. Now, he may just be talking to them to tease them a little bit, just to see where he stands. None of this is confirmed, so. But do not take this with a grain of salt. He did meet with them.
Mm-hmm.
But since David Ayer is going to be working on the Gotham Sirens project, he will not have time to be making the next Suicide Squad film, at least in the time Warner Brothers wants it to be pushed out. So,
According to this, Hollywood Reporter was talking about how, according to their sources, Mel Gibson was familiarizing himself with the material, and the studio is still actually looking at other filmmakers also. So he's one of the people on the list.
Right. They were looking at also, who is this? I am not going to get that last name right, but I'm going to try. Daniel Espinosa.
Espinosa,
thank you.
Espinosa.
He was the director of Child 44.
Never heard of it.
I haven't either. It was a sci-fi film that starred Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds.
No. He did Child 44, and then he took over from Byron Howard on the on Life, which is coming out with Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds, which actually looks like a really good movie.
Yeah, that's one like that sounds really familiar.
he took over to direct the finished Life.
So, as we said, it makes sense if Mel Gibson wanted to do something like this. Like we said, he's crazy enough to work on a script with these crazy characters.
Yeah.
if you look at
his list of movies he's directed and actually starred in, he's got a lot of action in there.
Oh, yeah, and he's a great director, too.
Yeah.
Don't sneeze at his movies. He's really good at the stuff that's came out. We had Braveheart and Passion of Christ, which God knows that thing had many different nominations and so many praises for that movie. And he also, as we said, just made Hacksaw Ridge, which is now nominated for 6 Oscars. So
yeah,
I would be fine with some
arguably, He's arguably bat crap crazy, but he can make a good movie.
Yeah, that's the thing. He doesn't need to be in the film, but he can make the film.
Hey, working for DC would be perfect because he's got bats in the belfry also.
You say that again.
So, but this one, it might be interesting. We have to keep an eye on that and see where it goes. You actually, the next story up is yours also.
Yes,
you're our gamer guy.
Yeah, this is gaming news.
I know, you were flipping out all week at work as they were announcing all this stuff on Valentine's Day and stuff.
Yeah, they put out a trailer like the day before, then they put out another trailer. It's like, oh god, you guys are just giving us a lot of information on this game. I'll take it. We're supposed to have about 40 characters in the game anyways. This is for Injustice 2. Now, the day before Valentine's Day, we got a trailer of Swamp Thing being
filmed. Hold on. Okay. You gotta love it when ads play automatically. Go ahead.
You know, that's why I try to mute my computer unless it's just for us. But Injustice 2 revealed a plant creature, Swamp Thing, and he looks very overpowered. This seems to be like the to-go character, if you can figure out his combinations. I don't know if they are yet, but from what they showed in the video, he's definitely something you need to watch out for. Now on Valentine's Day, this is for the females. We got the Here Comes the Girls trailer. Now this trailer showed Catwoman, Cheetah, Poison Ivy, and we already saw Black Canary before. But with the trailer like this, we got to see all the girls interact with each other, and all how their powers work. Poison Ivy's looks a little similar to Swamp Thing's. Catwoman looks like it did before in the previous game with her and her whip and her claws. Black Canary, we've seen before, her siren scream. She looks like a combination between Sidel of Mortal Kombat and Sonya Blade of Mortal Kombat. The one character that was fairly new here that I didn't think they would even put in the game or consider was Cheetah. She is a Wonder Woman villain. She has a lot of cat-like skills. And so it would be kind of funny to see her and Catwoman go at it. But the game is to launch on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 on May 16th. And, of course, you can get the Deluxe and the Ultimate games for pre-order if you want. And if you get a pre-order, you will get Darkseid as the DLC character, at least the first DLC character.
So have you pre-ordered yours yet?
Not yet. I'm trying to decide which one do I want. I don't want to spend all my money, so it's something to think about.
But, yeah, usually the Deluxe game, edition is what, like $100 or so?
$99. Yeah. All four characters, all DLC, literally just everything that you probably get a year after the game comes out, and it will go down all for $59. So if you want to play it now, it's fine. But the way this game getting hyped up, it seems like this is even more hyped up than the last one. Or I'm not even saying is. It definitely is. I think it might be a little bit more hyped up than what Mortal Kombat X was, because we didn't know exactly how many DLC characters are going to be in there. This one, they're telling us, hey, you're going to get 40. So we know we're going to get about that number of it. I feel like we still may get a couple extra just because, but I'm not really for sure. But there also was a little bit more detail for the mobile game. Now, the mobile game is not in the United States. I don't know where overseas.
It will. It'll be over here.
It will. But for now, it's just overseas right now. And they have gotten pictures from Scarecrow, Flash, Cyborg, and Green Lantern Hal Jordan. So there is going to be a couple more extra characters added to the game that we didn't really know about. We speculated, but not for sure, which is Cyborg and Scarecrow. We figured it was going to be a Flash from the trailer and kind of figured Hal Jordan would be in there just because they said John Stewart would be a DLC skin for Green Lantern. So it probably had to be just Hal and John. But Scareface in here kind of look like Pumpkinhead. I'll put a picture out on Instagram or Twitter to show you guys if you haven't seen it already. He doesn't really look like Scarecrow, but remember, this game, you can customize how each character looks.
Yeah.
And a lot of people complain about Swamp Thing, how he looked in the face. But once again, this game's going to be where you want to put in your time and what character you want to play, and you can customize them to the max.
Well, the one thing with this one is, you remember, even in the first game, I didn't play much of it, but I know that all the characters look a little different than what we know because it's an Elseworlds game.
Yes, this is. And that's what makes the story so great. So far, we haven't got any Injustice 2 comics. We still are getting Injustice books leading up to Injustice 2.
Yeah,
so once that drops,
we know that they are coming. I believe it's April. We have Injustice 2, the prequel comics.
That's a month before the game comes out.
You get prequels leading up to the game.
Yeah, and they've been pumping out so much Injustice comics. I was only able to get, like, 3 volumes, I think. I got Volume 1, Volume 2, and Volume 3. And after that, it was too much
reading material. Yeah, officially, it was like Year 1, Year 2, Year 3, and I think Year 4 is out already.
Yeah. Okay, so it was the first book, then Year 2, and then, or Year 1, Year 2 I have.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm waiting to at least get the first couple of issues of Injustice 2 so I'll know what story and where they're at.
Okay.
But that's video game news for this week, guys.
Well, yeah,
it's pretty, pretty heavy stuff, and the fans, like I said, have been going crazy online. All you can see on my YouTube feed is just Injustice gameplay, Injustice this, Injustice beta.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is, now between now and when the game releases, they'll probably, every week or every 2 weeks, they'll put out one or two more characters you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it seems like they're doing now. I didn't think we were going to get 5 characters in the same month.
Yeah. So, but we will find out more as that comes. The next one is a story, we're moving into comic book news, and it's something that really doesn't have a whole lot of news, but it looks like it's going to be weird and maybe
this
a little loony.
Great. It's going to be a lot of catastrophe, I can tell you that.
Well, I got this off of DC.com, DCComics.com, on their blogs. It says, DC Looney Tunes Specials. And I will read the entire article to you. It says, stay tuned. Jonah Hex, Yosemite Sam. Martian Manhunter, Marvin the Martian. Lobo, Roadrunner. And then, whoa. Batman, Elmer Fudd. And then it looks like you have the covers, and it shows a shadow of Batman with Elmer Fudd walking in the shadow. And you see Jonah Hex with Yosemite Sam in the background, and possibly, is that like a Foghorn Leghorn, maybe?
That's Foghorn Leghorn.
Both in their Foghorn's in a bandit costume carrying guns, and Yosemite Sam has his guns.
Of course.
The next one they show is Lobo and Wile E. Coyote, and Wile E. Coyote is showing a picture of the Roadrunner with a X through it. So it's almost like he's maybe hiring Lobo to find the Roadrunner?
That's what I was thinking. He's like, hey, you know what? I need a bounty hunter. I've been trying to kill this guy for how many years? Yeah, I'll just have someone take him out for me.
The next one is a giant Marvin the Martian trying to grab a hold of the Martian Manhunter.
You don't understand how much joy that brought my heart. Like I said, I smiled when I seen this picture.
Now, there's no other details at all. Nobody out there has it. I've searched all the regular websites, and everybody has the exact same story, just saying, hey, what is this?
And there's not even any comments on this for the page.
Exactly. Now, I'm wondering if this isn't DC looking at it saying, you know what? The DC Hanna-Barbera stuff, the new Hanna-Barbera Beyond line, is doing well. People are liking it. It's going well. Can we do something like that with the Looney Tunes? Maybe that's what they're asking, so they're going to test this to see if it actually is something they can do.
I was also going to say, you got to remember, they're also doing Looney Tunes still. They're doing Hanna-Barbera, Looney Tunes. Well, not, you know, I don't think it's Looney Tunes. It's still more Hanna-Barbera, but we got the Scooby-Doo crossover with the other Hanna-Barbera characters, which are also doing well.
Yeah, the original ones, like, there's still Looney Tunes comics out there. The original Looney Tunes comics are still running. DC's putting them out, but some of the Hanna-Barbera stuff is, like, we have the Scooby-Doo crossovers for kids and stuff like that are still going, even though we have Hanna-Barbera Beyond. So maybe this is a chance for them to try to bring some of the Looney Tunes characters, age them up a little bit, and see if it works.
Yeah, because Scooby-Doo's had run-ins with Deadman, Zatanna, Yosemite Sam, Foghorn. They're just everywhere. So if they're selling like this with other characters, why not give them a little bit of a darker tone and have them mix up a little bit?
Uh-huh. So that's all we have on that, because there is no news at all anywhere about that.
No.
We will let you know as soon as we find out. The next one's a little interesting, though. Now that we know the Judas Contract, Teen Titans Judas Contract movie is coming out, the animated. Speaking of animated movies, you said you have the Justice League Dark now.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into it too much. We'll once you see it, we'll talk about it. But yes, I do have it. Yeah. I saw it.
Well, I'm going to watch it this week. And then for next week's show, we'll actually have a review on it.
Yes. We're a little overdue on that. Next one we're going to have to hit is the Lego Batman movie.
Yeah. We need to go together to go see that or something.
Yeah, because I can't get out there any other time with any of my other friends. So
I've been hearing that it's getting a lot of good reviews.
I have too. It's one of the better Batman movies that's ever been out, period.
Nice. So, but we're into comic book news. This has something kind of to do with that Judas Contract.
Yeah, we're going to get... Basically, this is Judas Contract Part 2, I would say.
So go ahead. You're the one that brought this one up for us. This is actually a major crossover with three different books.
Yes. If it's Titans and it's Deathstroke, they're going to cross over. This is DC Reveals Teen Titan Deathstroke crossover. It's called the Lazarus Contract. Deathstroke looks to reclaim his mantle as the number one threat of the Teen Titans. This week in DC revealed that the rivalry between the Teen Titans and Deathstroke will be coming out as the Lazarus Contract. The Lazarus Contract will play on four different titles of the DC Rebirth comics, which is Titans 11, Teen Titans number 8, Deathstroke number 19, and Teen Titans Annual Lazarus Contract number 1. All four issues will have a tie-in with the best. This literally looks great. This is a giant montage of each book put together. So if you collect all four, you will get something like what we did with. Was that? Did, Did they do that with Reaper?
Yeah, they did that with Reapers with different printings of it. This, yeah, they give you basically, I think they call it a lenticular cover, where you can put all four titles side by side and they make one long picture.
I love it when they do that. It's like, you gotta buy that, especially if you're a variant cover collector of comic books. I know you're getting this. Now the crossover will be written by Dan Abnett, Benjamin Percy, and Christopher Priest. We've heard their names several times before, but this
they're the
time,
they're the writers for the different titles right now. So the main writers for the stories are still going to stay on them to do this.
But we will get interior art from Bennett Booth, Kyle Pham, Carlo Cargolina, and Paul Tier. DC promises that this crossover will have major implications for all three series, with the Teen Titans annual Judas or Lazarus contract teasing what does the future hold for the Titans teams as the game-changing run-in with their greatest enemy. Find out in the new set stage for next era of Titans and Teen Titans and Deathstroke. I did think this was going to be a little weird because, as we've seen in the past couple years, Deathstroke hasn't been depicted as a villain anymore. He's depicted as an anti-hero. But
that's because they like to
this,
make anti-heroes out of a lot of different people.
True. So, I don't know. It's kind of weird now seeing Deathstroke from the 80s coming into this one. Oh, my goodness. I didn't notice this. If you blow up the page, guys, we get Aqualad back and cool. Bumblebee. Huh. I'm just looking. Oh, wow. So, guys, if you do, go on IGN and look up the Titans crossover or Deathstroke Titans crossover. So,
now, that,
just seeing the image of this, we will get...
Is that Tempest or is it a new Aqualad?
No, that's the new Aqualad. Tempest is laying on the ground on one of the pictures, but the black Aqualad from...
Oh, I see him. Yeah, that's Calder. Calder's in this.
And if you look right by Calder, there's a Bumblebee.
Well, we know Bumblebee's back because she was in Titans from this week.
Right, but we didn't know if she's going to actually become Bumblebee again, or is she going to do a mouth? But turns out, we know where she's going
to
be.
Oh, there he is. I was saying, I'm not seeing Robin, but he's back behind there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to see, we got Damian, we got Beast Boy. I'm trying to make sure that we got everybody that's in Titans right now and in Teen Titans. The only two that are new is Calder's in this one and Bumblebee's in this one. Well, Bumblebee's already in the Titans books.
Right, just not officially a part of the team, but from seeing this, we got a little idea what she's going to make her decision on.
What I'm curious on Titans is, number 11, right? Hang on.
Right.
We're only on Titans number 8 now, so we got three more issues before we get to this.
And the funny thing is they are fighting over Grant Wilson's gravestone.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of other gravestones, too. I can't really tell. One's Robert something, and I don't know when. All I know is he died in 1956. So... Yeah, this looks great. This is probably going to be one of my favorite titles to come out of this year. Is that anything with Teen Titans, I'm going to be a fanboy over, so.
Oh, yeah. I've been loving the regular Titans title.
Yeah, I'm liking the actual new Titans title better than the Teen Titans this time go around, but I think that's because everybody from the old Teen Titans books I have are now in the Titans because they're grown up.
Yeah, Titans is your Titans you remember from when you were reading back in the day.
Right, and it's the same feel, and I love it. You know, the one thing that made me a little sad about all this, I was really, really hoping we could get a little cameo from Cyborg on the cover. Yeah. Now, that would be 100% perfect.
They're not going to do that, though, because they're still using him in Justice League.
But they did use him in the animated series. That's what gave me hope.
Yeah?
He was on both sides. He was like, hey, I'm a Justice League member, but the Teen Titans are cool. Let's have some pizza.
Yeah. So, but we have another story coming up with more links to the past, really, kind of, how this had links to the Judas contract. Well, we got some names, a blast from the past from back in the 90s coming back with Chuck Dixon and Graham Nolan coming back.
And this was during my birth year.
Oh, yeah. Well, they actually, if anybody doesn't know, Chuck Dixon was the guy, and Graham Nolan are the two that actually created Bane in the Batman universe. And they're coming together to do, let me see where it's at here. I think it's a 6-issue Bane miniseries. Let me find, it should say, I thought it said right here. Well, let me read the press release here. It says, the co-creators of Bane make a triumphant return to the character. Oh, it's a 12-issue. The 12-issue series that will push him to the limit. Bane is seeking to create a global criminal empire with the help of his original gang, Bird, Trog, and Zombie. If you remember back to Nightfall, when Bane broke Batman's back, these guys were with him then.
Yep. Now, they were dangerous.
Yes. Well, it says, the man who broke the bat moves beyond Gotham to find new cities to conquer and new enemies to crush. He won't stop until he stands at the top of the world of crime. For Bane, it's all about conquest, and that's the name of the series. It's Bane Conquest. It's a very now this is quotes from Graham Nolan is quoted here saying, "It's very exciting to return with Chuck to a character we so loved and so identified with. DC has allowed us to return him to his roots and bring back old friends and create new characters that will rock Bane and Batman's world. Dixon, Nolan, and Bane. What's not to love? This is without a doubt going to be the ultimate Bane adventure." And then from Dixon, he says, "Always happy to be reunited with Graham. And this is an especially heady experience returning to our most significant contribution to the Batman mythos. The best aspect of this project is that it's not a cameo or nostalgia tour for Graham and I. It's more like we're back at, it's more like we're back after all this time to work on a truly epic story about Bane, and we haven't lost a step." Now, Bane Conquest number one, written by Chuck Dixon and with art and cover by Graham Nolan and colors by Gregory Wright, it actually comes out May 3rd. The thing is, if anybody doesn't recognize the name Chuck Dixon, he's also the guy that brought us the Robin series from the 90s. I used to love reading his Robin series.
Yeah, the Tim Drake Robin. As we said, the best Robin.
Well, that was the first time any Robin had actually got their own dedicated series. So I have some of those in trade, and I have a lot of them on in actual individual titles. And the books in my long boxes downstairs.
Good. I might have to borrow one of them for me.
Yeah, eventually once I have everything set up, you'll have to come and like drool over my long boxes of the. It's all stuff from the 90s, but it's still cool, good stuff.
Yeah, and I guess same for me once I get everything in mind. I'm still working on trying to alphabetize them instead. I'm not just shoving them in yet. That's the problem.
Yeah, most of mine that I've bought recently are all just stuffed in there. I gotta get these up and going. But I need to alphabetize them with the old ones too. It is my problem.
Right.
So it's gonna take a lot longer.
And that was the hard part for me.
But the
sad thing was Titans took up like half the back of it since I was alphabetized, and I was like, oh my goodness, I got too many.
So that I think takes us to the end of the news segment.
Yeah, we can go more into our reviews now.
Oh, yeah. We got the Rebirth reviews from February 8th, 2017. And do you want to start with the one that I don't have sitting in front of me?
Sure. I love the art from this, and I was looking like, man, this looks really familiar. This is the same art style that was in the Batman All-Star. This is Suicide Squad issue number 11. Somebody's gonna get hurt.
Oh, yeah.
So this is going back on everything that happened in the previous issue with Amanda Waller dealing with Rustrum, even threatening her kids, being this close to them, and revealing to her, you know what, I don't have to kill your kids to hurt you. I can just show them what kind of monster you are. So she's looking in her room, seeing everything that's going on in the world, trying to find Rustrum, and she still can't find him. And she's at this point getting drunk, because why not? She dealing with a big day like that, seeing how your kids don't think you're the best mother in the world when you think you're doing your best at it, and you can't really go past your own ego to see maybe you could do better steps to be a good person. So the Suicide Squad, oh, by the way, Rustrum comes in, and he, I didn't know he could step through time,
or at least step through portals, or something.
I didn't know he had that power, probably with his sword. Well, he steps through, and he's back. Yes, he's back in Belriv, and he's taking out the guards once again like they don't mean anything because he has a flaming sword. So you know who's going to step inside and try to stop him? Suicide Squad. But for now, they're in Tibet.
Yeah.
So they don't know anything that's going to happen. And they're going through it. I love the art right here. This shows them at their full potential. By the way, they have on extra armor, looks like. You got Harley Quinn with her big mallet, extra armor on. Killer Croc's got his skin. Enchantress has her magic power. She doesn't need anything. Boomerang looks a little bit more heavy guarded. Katana doesn't need anything, but Rick Flag and Deadshot are got their armor on extra tight. And they're going through these guys, and by the end of this, there's only one guy really running, and he says he surrenders, but he still has his hand on the button that's going to, what exactly is this going to do?
Like he's going to erase the hard drives of all the information they're trying to get.
Right, and with Deadshot being an excellent shooter, he shoots the guy in his head and his hand and tells him, you know what, we're not the military. He's saying, you can't do this. You guys have standards, da-da-da. No, they don't. They're a Suicide Squad.
He's like, I surrender. You can't do anything to me. I surrender. You can't shoot me. Well, the problem is that, yeah, Deadshot's not military.
Flag is.
So they got their info.
They did. And now we're going back to Hack. And, oh, man, what's this blonde chick's name? She's new. I'm still trying to remember what her name actually is.
Give me just a second. I'll tell you.
Yes. Now, as we said, since Amanda Waller is not really being Amanda Waller right now, she's
She was actually she was removed from duty because of everything that's been going on and the things with her kids. So
funny how something like that's what took her off of this.
So Harcourt's the acting director.
So as of right now, they're trying to download all the encrypted messages and all everything that was on the hard drive, and they can find out. It looks like a new team, or at least a lot of different villains. They found out, and as this is going through on their side, Suicide Squad's still in Tibet, and they're saying, you know what? We're getting tired. Killer Croc's complaining, Enchantress is complaining, Flag, everyone's like, hey, we need a vacation. We're all going a little crazy. And it's Harley that says that.
Yeah, Harley's already there.
Yeah, Croc's at this point now just so pissed off, he's just eating the bodies of everybody. And Katana usually doesn't say she needs a vacation because she's Katana. But it's funny, she's like, you know what, I could go for some shopping right now. And her sword starts speaking out to her saying, shopping, shopping, shopping. So, you know what, since they're under a new manager, they're like, you know what, you guys can have a little bit of vacation. But as Hack goes into the computer to figure out what else is in there, there's a message that says, our spy within the Suicide Squad. Hmm, what does that mean? We'll find out somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
But as she's coming out, she's saying everything's in there, and we're in danger, by the way. And she tells her, I know. And this is Amanda Waller that she's talking to. And she's saying, the score's about to come and it's about to be settled, old and new. They're coming back. They're all coming back. And a bomb goes off Blackgate Penitentiary. And Rustrum has lit out everybody. Now, this was a short story, in my opinion, because this ends the end of episode one. Now we're going to go into a little bit different of a prequel that we usually get in Suicide Squad.
Well, Amanda Waller thing is, hang on a second. Let's go back to he basically set off a bomb in Blackgate Penitentiary in Gotham City. So you know what kind of people the Bat puts in Blackgate.
Right.
Arkham and now Blackgate all of them are getting out.
Holds some of the worst criminals. And the fact that this is happening.
All the villains that are not classified as insane go to the prison.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are insane go to Arkham.
So this is bad news for everybody right now. But, hey, good thing is a lot of the members of the Suicide Squad did live in Gotham, so maybe they'll have a little bit of an advantage here. So now we're back at this prequel, and it's life outside. Amanda Waller is now talking to Zod, still captured. Somehow they need to put this guy back in the Phantom Zone. That's all I'm going to say. I don't feel comfortable with him just being in cuffs.
Like an EMP hits and all of a sudden the red sun or the red light goes away and not good stuff.
Mm-mm. She says, my children hate me. Get away from Zod now, Waller. And this is Harcourt telling her, you don't belong here. I'm the one in charge. The JLA lord is under investigation and Zod will still be in this prison. And she's like, well, I admire you and everything. And this is really dangerous right now. But like you're teasing Armageddon, taunting it at... when it will come back. Maybe this is because deep down inside, you know you can't. So at this point, I think Amanda Waller is just telling her, you can't do what I used to do. You don't have the guts and glory like I have. Well, now we're going back to the Suicide Squad. They did get a vacation, and they're spending it kind of different. They've been in the Suicide Squad for so long, and the thing is, after everything that happened with Justice League versus Suicide Squad, they're not just criminals anymore. They understand they just saved the world. Things are different with them. Their soul feels a little bit more pure. Captain Boomerang goes to the strip club, of course, and he's having booze, throwing money, having women dancing around him. And he says, you know, ladies, I'm going to show you why. They really call me Captain Boomerang. And they're like, why? He goes into this whole spew of how he created these boomerangs to come back into aerodynamics, how they work. He's basically being a scientific nerd at this, and he's thinking to himself, what happened to me? This isn't me. Oh my goodness. Waller's changed me. I'm not what I used to be. Plus I died. And now I'm just becoming, I don't know, a good guy. And now we're at the diner and we get we get Harley Quinn looking at a bank and diner's right across the street. She's been here for hours just drinking her coffee and finished her coffee at this point. Still staring at the bank. She's used to seeing a bank, go inside, rob it, Batman catches her and she does the same thing all over again. So Captain Flag joins her right here, and he's telling her, you've been looking at that for how many hours now? She says, oh, I'm not really looking at it much. I'm just enjoying my coffee. He said, you already finished your coffee, so what else are you waiting for? And she tells him, maybe I'm just looking at the bank. Maybe I'm just waiting to plan when I can knock on the door and blow everybody's brains out. He says, well, not much. We've all changed. We all know we're soldiers now, and we've had some tough missions. because we know it's all been wrong. We've all changed a little bit, Quinn. And at this point, it kind of looks like they're flirting a little bit, in my opinion. But it's weird. Now, I didn't know if this was the comics playing mind tricks with us, the fans, or they actually had Amanda Waller walking by the diner
window.
It
looks like she's actually there. You know, she had said she was going to, in the first one.
Louisiana. Was it Louisiana?
I think she New was Orleans. Going to, where are we at? Somewhere in there it mentions that she's going to New Orleans, and they're right. already there.
Right. Little part I left out. But the way Captain Flash try and comfort Harley and just be there for her, she's like, oh, you're sweet, but you know I'm crazy, right? A girl's got emotional, got a killer mallet right in her hands, and you know I date a homicidal maniac and everything. So she's saying, if you try and pull anything on me, just know that I'm psychotic. Now we get to Deadshot, and he's finally seeing his daughter again. It's been years since this happened. Last time they ever seen each other was when Batman tried to get Deadshot to not kill anyone and go on the good side. Which, in my opinion, is still on the good side, but sometimes you gotta take out some people. And he did it for her. He did it to save his daughter. And she tells him, Daddy, I know I haven't seen you in a long time. Last time it was, we were surrounded with guns to my head, and you and Batman went to save me, and you killed those bad men. But I don't care about all that. I know you did it for my safety, and you did it because you love me. And you're my father, and I want you to be my father. I don't ever want to see you get hurt ever again or back in prison. And this is when she hugs him, and Deadshot's even like, wow, that was a shot in the heart to me, Zoe. I want to be, but there's a lot of there's someone out there who doesn't want me to be free. And this goes back to Amanda Waller's picture. And she's walking down Louisiana streets. You got the blues. You got the jazz signs. You got all these different clubs. And she's walking down a dark alley. And someone with guns comes up after she walks down there in the shadows and says, do you have any last words? She looks at him and says, you better not miss, which he doesn't. He shoots her right in the chest. And that's the end of the Suicide Squad book. So from what it looks like, Amanda Waller is now dead. As we've said, this is comic books and the Suicide Squad. She'll probably come back or is not dead right now, really. Yeah. But what they're showing, yeah, she got shot.
Yeah, you can't hide that. She got shot and it shows the blood in the center of her chest, so... We'll find out what happens in, 2 weeks, I believe.
Yep, I'm very curious. If she is dead, I'm actually happy to see this happen because I don't know how Suicide Squad's going to function without Amanda Waller. What differences are going to occur?
Yeah, so...
But that's it for our first review list. Next, we've got a Green Lantern comic.
Exactly. Yep, Green Lantern. We get Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps, number 14. And this one starts out kind of interesting. This is, this character, has he ever had any other name than Space Cabby?
You know what? I can't say.
So I think
know
he's been in the books off and on, as depending on what's going on, usually in probably Green Lantern titles. That's one you could actually look up while we get started if you want. Look up Space Cabby. Because that's all his name is in this. But we're in Space Sector 2819, the Smuggler's Corridor. And he seems to be running from someone, and green chains are coming after his cab. And all of a sudden, someone hits the brakes for him. And you find Guy Gardner has him all chained up. And then before he gets a chance to even open up the door, Guy rips the hatch off and puts the force field over the door so he can come in. And he finds out, and the cabbie's trying to hide a bunch of stuff. Then you find out the guy doesn't care that he's smuggling stuff. That doesn't bother him. He's looking for information.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, he's looking for anybody with the Fear logo on their chest, the Sinestro Corps members. So the cabbie tells him straight up, that's going to cost you. Then we get back to Mogo, the Green Lantern homeworld, which is back in the center of the cosmos at Space Sector Zero. Or no, it's Mojo. Wait, how's that spelled?
Let me look it up.
It's M-O-G-O or M-O-J-O? M-O-G-O, so I think it's Mogo.
Oh, him.
Yeah.
This is a space cabbie. Yeah, the funny thing is, do you remember those DC books that are like their encyclopedia, but just the characters?
I think so.
Okay, I remember I got one with him in it, but as we know, he's just Space Cabbie. He has no real name. That is unknown.
Yeah.
So
they just call him Space Cabbie, and every once in a while he shows up and they do something with him, and then he goes away.
Yep.
So, but we find there's a meeting happening in the new council chamber of the Green Lantern Corps. And it's an actual meeting between the Green Lanterns and the Yellow Lantern Corps. They're going to sit down and try to figure out how is this going to work? How are we going to actually work together now instead of the working against each other? Which is interesting because it's never happened in the history of either Corps. And John Stewart says straight up, you can open the Book of Oa and you will not find anything about this because this has never happened.
Right.
So back before they even start the meeting, though, Hal Jordan is having a meeting with or sitting down and talking to John and talking about how about all the stuff that happened before, about Hal running from the Corps and everything else. And John tells him straight up, you know what? Kilowog already explained everything. You don't have nothing to explain here. It's all taken care of. He said, what you decided to do by taking the blame for the entire Corps, this all happened before the, before Rebirth. He said, what you did to take the blame for the whole Corps so we wouldn't get blamed, that was the dumbest idea I've ever heard of, which is right up your alley. That's why I, fully believe you did this.
Yeah.
So, Hal takes off and, tells him thanks and starts to take off. Then he says, wait a minute. Are you going to come into this meet? John asks him, are you going to come into this meeting? You being the, basically the mentor and the standard bearer and the one everybody looks to as the best Green Lantern, it would be great if you actually put your seal of approval on what we're doing here. But Hal says, well, I have other plans. I have to take off. I don't have time to stick around.
Of course he did.
So they get back into the meeting and you have Sornik and, John talking about how they've actually, come up with an idea on how this might work. The Green Lanterns and the Old Lanterns are old enemies, bitter combatants, but they're joining forces. And they come up with the idea that, since there's not enough Green Lanterns left for the entire galaxy or universe. Sarnak says there's, after the Battle of, Warworld, the Corps is scattered so far and wide that we can't, they can't do what they need to do either. So they made the decision that they're going to continue to focus on what separate, or they can either focus on what separates them, the difference, or find common ground and move together.
And the thing is, for the Sinestro Corps, this will also give them redemption.
Exactly. So, but as they're starting to do this meeting, Hal goes over to where, what is it? Gantha and Sayid are hanging out with Kyle. And say, okay, Kyle, we got to go. And Kyle's like, wait a minute. I want to hear what's going on here.
But no Hal's time like, for that. We got
no time. We got a plan. We got something we got to do. And then Gantha says, yeah, you have far more important things than this. At which point Kyle says, well, wait a minute. Nothing horrible ever began with those words from Gantha. We're the last Guardians of the Guardians of the Universe, and in this matter, we have no doubt. So then you find out the whole plan with the going back to John and Sornik is Sornik. I'll never pronounce your name right. Probably
it's close enough.
Is you got end up everybody gets new partners. You get one green with one yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Now since there's not enough yellows to go around, they need to find the rest of the yellows and give them a choice. They can either seek redemption and work with the greens, or get put into the science cells in prison.
And it's up to them, really, at that point.
Exactly. It's their choice. Then we get back into transluminal space, which is the way Green Lanterns travel so far over great distances. And you find out that Hal and Kyle are flying through here. Kyle has no idea what's going on here. So he's asking, okay, well, what is this job that needs the two of us to do this? And he says, the job needs you because you're the White Lantern. Your ring taps into all of the seven spectres or colors of the emotional spectrum, and the job needs me because I'm me. So they show up. They show up at this planet that's basically on fire and lava and things. It's trying to tear itself apart right now. And so Hal tells Kyle straight up, "You need to look and find hope." He's been dispatched to find hope. So Kyle's trying to figure out, well, why can't you look for this too? You have the greatest will of everybody. The problem is, Hal has to focus on everything else that's going around. He can't focus on doing that and still keep them safe. Kyle can actually tap into the hope, and he does find a slight trace on this planet that they're on. So they start going after it and looking all over for it, and these giant beasts attack them, and that's why they're working together.
Wicked-looking monsters.
Oh, yeah. Well, we go back to Mogo. The meeting's over, and it looks like they've made an idea. And then out of nowhere, Guy shows up with Space Cabby. And he finds out, hey, I got answers to all your troubles, Johnny. Meet Cabby. And then they find out that Cabby has some information for him, but he's got a price before he can get the information to them. The price is he gets immunity for all past transgressions against anything that's not violent. He gets immunity for all past charges and smuggling and trafficking and every other nonviolent ing. So John tells him, okay, well, this better be good then. If we're going to put up something like that on the line, You gotta have some really good info.
It's funny because this is Guy. It's like, do you trust Guy as the most reliable Lantern? No. But he has his moments. This
exactly.
is one of them.
And he would make this type of deal, too.
Yeah, he would.
So, but Cabby goes and starts showing he actually has rumor, because he does smuggling and all these other things, and he has people in his cab all the time, whether or not they're on the legal side is not asked by him. He hears things like cabbies do. And so he gives them information on like a bunch of different lantern or, yellow lanterns and where they're possibly at. So, John says, okay, you got your deal. That was good stuff. So Hal and Kyle are back to fighting these monsters. And Hal finally says, you know what? I can handle this. You go find Hope. So they're going through the fight, going through back and forth, up and down. Kyle is finding this slight glimmer of hope because they need to find it before the planet is destroyed. And in the last panel, you get, these creatures attacking the Blue Lantern, St. Walker. It says, relinquish your hope. You are prey to the misery mound. And St. Walker is doing everything he can to protect himself from these creatures. And that's the end of the book.
Yeah, I would say he doesn't have a lot of hope around him. So it might be a little tough for him to win this. But because he has his friends there, or at least another fellow Lanterns, he'll probably pull out in this fight.
Exactly. Well, now that Hal and Kyle are there.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to the last book we're reviewing this week.
Yes. This is one we've been waiting for a couple months now.
And this one, it's only took you an hour to figure out what I was talking about.
You know, just about that. It hit me eventually.
But this is we've been waiting for this for a couple of months now, ever since we heard about Justice League versus Suicide Squad. This is the Justice League of America Rebirth number one. And it starts off showing a picture of a nice little coastal town with a mountain in the background. It says Happy Harbor, Rhode Island. Now that, what we told you guys earlier that this was happening, he's like, hey, I remember now. I asked him, okay, where is this? Because I recognized it immediately. I knew exactly where we were talking about.
And it took him
a long time to remember. If you remember back and watch Young Justice, this is the mountain that the Young Justice base was in.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't say Rhode Island. They just said Happy Harbor in that one.
Right. But this plane is the same place, a base for the new JLA.
So go ahead and go through this.
So I was saying we can do this one, both bounce off.
Yeah.
Because this one I kind of sped past at work, so I probably should have reread it. But right now we get Batman and Killer Frost going down to the new location. And right now they're just talking about getting everything together and how everybody also deserves a second chance, too, with dealing with her. And we need a team of heroes, and we also got a place. It's small, but hey, for one, this is a cave, too, and it's Batman, so of course he would go to there first.
Yeah.
So it's time to do some recruiting. Thing is, Killer Frost is a villain, and they're trying to recruit other heroes. That might not work so well for some people.
Which
so
they we go find to Seattle. Out immediately.
Mm-hmm. So we go to Seattle, and you get Killer Frost and Black Canary just going at it because, well, for one, it's Killer Frost, and we all know her background. So whatever she's trying to tell Black Canary, she ain't having it. And she's trying to tell her, I gave all that up, and I'm trying to tell you we're here, and she just keeps attacking her, doesn't want to listen to her, like, hey, what are you doing on my side of town? Get out of here. And she says, look, I'm not fighting back. I'm defending myself, and I'm trying to tell you I don't want to fight. We're here. She's like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? She looks up, it's Batman. He drops down. He explains everything as she's, almost about to put Killer Frost in a coma with that screaming. She says, I trust her, and you should probably trust her, too. We're trying to get everybody together, get a team of mortals, not gods. You know what? When he said that, now it's really picking up on me. He's right. A lot of the JLA are mortals with certain superpowers, but nothing too big where they can help take down like a world like Superman or Wonder Woman or Green Lantern. Heck, Flash even has some groundbreaking powers. So he's saying we need to get a team together, and we're still working on it, but he wants her as a part of it. Next, we go to New Jersey in Mammoth City. This is where Lobo resides. And on this, you got a rooftop.
Well, at least this is the bar he's hanging out in, I think.
Okay. And here you got a rooftop full of motorcycles. And, of course, he comes crashing through here, just spitting out all these bad words here. And he's like, you can't mess with the main man, da-da-da. Well, there's somebody in fish stocking standing over him saying, I doubt that, Lobo. It's Black Canary telling him now, too, they need somebody on the team. And, of course, he's going to be a little bit of a male chauvinist and say some disrespectful stuff, and she's not having it. She's like, you know why I'm here, and you better come with me. We got a job for you. Batman sent me to get you. And he remembers he always told Batman he delivers on his word. His word is bond. Now we're in Ivy University in New England, and this is where we get to see the new Adam. Now, in here we do not get to see him in his suit. He's just in his lab, and he's shrinking down. Now he's shrunk back up, and he sees Lobo and Batman stand to him. That's something that would probably make me pee myself if I seen that. he tells him, hey, I'm Ryan Chow. I'm not the actual Ray. Ray Palmer's, he's gone missing, and I'm his assistant. Batman says, no, I came for the Atom. We're done. He's like, wait, no, I can help. Believe me, I've trained everything. I've helped him. And Lobo, of course, is going to be still, once again, a little disrespectful. He's saying, if Bat don't want you and just a kid, we need to get somebody else. He says, we won't put him in danger. Lobo says, also, he's a kid. How old are you? I know what I used to do when I was young and made all those mistakes. Or I was. He still does make mistakes. But it seems like they're going to give him a chance and let him join the team. Next, we go to Oregon City, City of Vanity. And this is where Ray resigns. And we get a better suit, actually, now than what we did when we first seen his one-off issue. And the funny thing is, Ray's the one to come toward him and pull him into the JLA. The thing is, Ray, like I said, does not have his suit on. All he has is the belt and some type of goggles.
Oh, you're talking about Ryan.
I'm sorry, I keep saying Ray. I'm used to seeing Ray for Adam. Ryan, he's got just the goggles and the belt on. He hasn't has his suit on yet, but he can still shrink and reappear. And the way he popped up and Ray was on his phone, he's like, wait a minute, were you just in my phone? Like, yeah, I can shrink down really small and get in places I don't need to be, but hey, that's not the point. I'm here to let you know we're trying to recruit a new team, and it's led by Batman. And Ray's like, I can't believe Batman even wants me. And Batman's a great hero. He's kind of dumbfounded by all this. But he's saying, hey, Batman's waiting on us, so if you're in, you better go because people need help. And trust me, if Ray, what is it? Trust me, Ray. Oh, duh, he's talking this Ray. I've been a 4 years psych student, so he's so smarter than
your fourth year physics student.
Fourth year.
He's a physics student, not a psych student.
Psych student. Physics student, excuse me. Now, did you catch this next character on this page for Manhattan?
What, with Vixen?
Yes, with Vixen, but not her, the villain she's chasing after.
I don't know her. I see the name, but I don't know who it is.
Roxy Rocket was, she might be in the comic books, but from my memory, the first time I saw her was in the Batman animated series.
Oh, okay.
She was giving Batman and Batgirl some trouble with that. It was one of those episodes you knew this wasn't the main rogues villains of somebody new that they threw in the series, but it worked. So it was nice to see her again in here. Well, she's running through Manhattan, and Vixen is still trying to grab her. Now, they now remember Mari still being a fashion designer. The cops and everybody's asking her, when are you going to give up this superhero gig and actually go back into fashion, or is this something you're really serious about? Obviously, you're taking down the criminals. So she's still doing a great job at it. And that's when she flies up on the rooftop and finds out Batman's up there.
Well, the funny thing is, you see the creature she was using to fly up to the top of the – what power she was using to fly to the top of the building.
A bat animal.
She uses a bat. She uses the powers of a bat to fly up to the top of the building and finds Batman.
Now, what kind of coincidence is that? Uh-huh. he says, you know, you don't answer me. And she says, well, you know, I can't be a part of this team. I'm still trying to do what I want in this city. People have to be stopped here. I don't have time to be part of this big of an issue and this big of a matter. He's saying, well, if you don't join us, other things will happen to the guys out here that you're trying to stop now. And we really need you. So eventually he talks her into it, and he gives her this device I did not know they had. It's basically a portable device that says JLA on it, and it gets them to be wherever they need to go. So he takes her from Manhattan. I'm sorry, say that again.
It's a transporter token. The JLA's had transporters for years.
I haven't seen it used, except for, at least I haven't been reading New 52, the Rebirth by Justice League.
Yeah, we've not seen it in the Rebirth yet.
Yeah, and the only time I see anybody teleporting is still Cyborg, so. The first time I saw it in here, and they're a good thing they're still using it. So he transports her back to the cave, and everybody's sitting at the round table, just like the JLA used to do. And, of course, they're having their little bit of bickering, and the one that's really getting everybody upset is Lobo, because it's Lobo. This is something they're probably going to have to deal a lot of. And they're going back and forth, and then Batman gets there, and he just basically tells him, you know what, Lobo, sit down. Lobo gives him a bad look, and then he says, all right, boss, whatever you say. Who else can do that to Lobo besides Batman? Superman doesn't even have that kind of power over him. And he's telling her now, and he's telling them, we have Lobo on the team, we have Killer Frost. Both of these characters, or both of these people, are, you know, not the best that we've known them in the past, but trust me, under what we're doing now, and they helped us save the world with what was going on in the Justice League versus Suicide Squad problem, they're all a part of the team, and we all are a team, and we need to start learning how to fight as one. Heroes as a community, and let's start the Justice League of America. And we also get a little bit of a preview of what's going to happen in the next episode. Coming up in Justice League of America, we got Ray and Lobo going at it, of course. Lobo's going to start a fight with somebody. Then you get Killer Frost somewhere, and this person says, "You know, sister, your life hangs on an impossible choice." Then we get Batman holding up a Liberty shield, and then you get Ray possibly talking to Professor Palmer in, like, Assassin's Creed gear.
Yeah. Well, the shield that Batman's holding, is that Liberty Bell on it?
It might be. They just have Liberty, but more likely it's Liberty Bell.
Because you see the half of her face.
Right, and she's got the mask on, so that probably is Liberty Bell.
Which is interesting, because wasn't it Liberty? No.
Nah.
Liberty Bell was someone's mom. Was that Jessica Quick's mom?
I was going to say, or was that Stargirl's?
Let me look it up real quick.
On the fly.
Yep. Liberty Bell DC. Because if you just put in Liberty Bell, you'll get something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple characters I found. Jesse Chambers, Liberty Bell. Maybe it's this one. There's so many different Liberty. There's a couple different Liberty Bells. Head of Successful. That might not be her. Okay, I don't think that's the one. The problem of having the same characters with the same name.
Yeah. I don't remember. Well, I'll have to look it up later as we go. But yeah, I believe she had something. Jesse Quick or someone. She was their mother. So. But that's actually the end of our reviews for this week.
Yeah. The JLA. That, I don't know. I was expecting a little bit more, but not too much because they're getting the team together. So you couldn't get an action-packed full series.
Well, this one, they actually had to show why everybody's on the team. Because when you put together the original JLA, everybody knows they're going to fight work together. That's the way it is.
Right.
They didn't have to do any backstory.
But with an anti-hero and then a villain on the team, which also later on became anti-hero, and Lobo just a crazed, deranged maniac at one point. Mm-hmm. We got a new Ray. In this one, he's a new Ray. For everyone, he hasn't really been out there in the field yet. A new Adam. Black Canary's been doing her thing. Vixen just started. So Batman's, in a certain way, really worked with nothing but rookies.
Yeah.
But as we see before, Batman was working with rookies with the outsiders. And look at what we have now. Katana, and she's doing great in Suicide Squad. Black Lightning, he's getting his own TV series, so he's got a great fan base. And Metamorpho, and he was on the Legends of Tomorrow issues that just came out a while back.
That was a great book.
Yeah, I'm wishing they would have kept that going. Oh, you were right. I looked her up. Liberty Bell was Jesse Quick's mama.
Okay. Yeah, she was. She and Johnny Quick had Jesse.
Yes. And she was on. I'm trying to think, what team was this?
Liberty Bell was Justice Society. The old World War II Justice Society. And then in Earth 2 back in the day.
So I'm wondering how it's going to tie in with this being the Justice League of America, if they're going to show a little something there.
We'll find out.
We'll see you next issue.
Exactly. But that leads us to somewhere we go every week.
Mm-hmm. A good place.
And as every week, that was the Shazbots with their song Comic Book Shop. Check them out on iTunes and Facebook and at Shazbots.com. They bring you the pull list every week. And this week, we actually have 13 titles for February 2nd, 2017. So, Vernon, do you want to start with the first one?
I was going to let you start that one because your neck's getting a little slow. There we go.
Ah, okay. Well, I got it right here.
I'll let you check that one.
We have Suicide Squad number 12, Burning Down the House, part 2. Determined to unmake all the world's institutions of governance and control, Redacted orchestrates a series of prison breaks across the DC universe, forcing Harley Quinn, Deadshot, and the rest of the Suicide Squad into their most dangerous mission yet, keeping their former supervillain comrades in jail. Now, the art is done by Riley Rossimo and written by Rob Williams. Now, this actually doesn't mention Amanda Waller's death.
Waller, at all. Yeah.
But also, we can fill in Redacted because we saw Suicide Squad number 11 this week. More than likely, that's Rostrum.
Or it's the guy that shot her.
One or the other. But remember, Rostrum is the one that broke everybody out of Blackgate.
True. So,
So that looks like it's probably going to be Rostrum in that.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll learn a little bit more about Amanda.
Yeah, and what character took her out. But I don't know why. Just in my head, nah, that couldn't be them. They don't use guns. Never mind. That was a theory. I was saying Phantasm, maybe it'd be funny if that was her doing the killing of Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
But I don't think she would use a gun. She'd probably use her sickle in her hand. But next we have Batman Beyond issue number 5, Escaping the Grave finale. Batman and Terminal face off for the last time as his secrets are revealed and will affect Terry McGinnis forever. Now all that remains is to shut down Terminal's plans for ruling Gotham City and save his friend Dinah. But doing both these things may not be possible, and that will leave Terry having to make the deadliest choice. Art done by Bernard Chung and written by Dan Jurgens.
Okay. I've been liking the Batman Beyond series.
Yeah, the last one I seen was when he started to join that Joker gang. I didn't get back.
Yeah. Well, that brings us...
catch up.
Yeah. That brings us to Action Comics number 974. Mild-Mannered Part 2. The mystery of the human Clark Kent unravels. Lois stalks Clark's trail, but all signs point to something big on the horizon. Even the relative safety of their upstate farm can't protect Superman and his family from the threat they never expected. Clark Kent? Is done by Art Thibbett, Steven Segovia, and Patrick Zercher, and is written by Dan Jurgens.
Next, we have Batgirl issue number 8, Son of Penguin Part 2. It's hard enough to juggle a new boyfriend when you're not secretly investigating him for supervillainry, but as Batgirl's dating Ethan Cobblepot to get to the bottom of his new tech business, or could she actually like him? Plus, Magpie strikes. I haven't heard that name in a while. She's coming back. Art done by Christian Wildgoose and written by Hope Larson.
Well, next up, we got Blue Beetle number 6, the Posse finale. The mysterious being known as Mordecai Cull has come to El Paso to help pave the way for the rise of an even more powerful and malevolent entity. What he wasn't planning on was facing Blue Beetle and the power of the Scarab. Now Cull is out to wrest the device from Jaime by any means necessary. But the Beetle doesn't stand alone. Dr. Fate's not about to stay on the sidelines in this epic battle. It's about time we saw Dr. Fate.
I know, right? We've been talking about him since the beginning of Rebirth.
Art is done by Scott Collins and written by Keith Geffen.
Cool. Next on our list, we have Deathstroke, issue number 13. Twilight Part 2. In order to obtain criminal evidence against his ex-wife, Adeline, Deathstroke helps Raptor and the Red Lion steal an aircraft carrier. But will Slade use this evidence to convict Adeline or to save her? Meanwhile, haunted by a terrible decision, Deathstroke's son Jericho is losing his grip on his own sanity. Art done by Mark Morales and Joe Bennett and written by Christopher Priest. Yeah, I was wondering when we're going to start hearing a little bit more tie-ins for the crossover of Titans.
Yeah.
Not yet. Probably after this storyline it will end.
Probably, yes. Well, next up we got Detective Comics 951, The League of Shadows Part 1. The next big detective arc explodes here as the League of Shadows goes from mysterious rumor to deadly fact. What's their plan for Gotham City? And how will their actions affect Batman and his team? Art by Christian Duce Fernandez and written by James T. Tinian IV.
Cool.
I do have to say, though, it was awesome to see Azrael in Detective 950, the anniversary edition.
Yeah, it's funny. I was telling my mom about... I was just naming off some of these characters. She's like, who the heck is this? Who's Orphan? Who's Azrael? I was like, man, I forgot they haven't been shown in any big media outlets yet either. But yeah, this is a big, big part of the Bat family we haven't seen on media. But there's hope. We still got a lot of stuff coming out still.
Exactly.
But next we have Hal Jordan and Green Lantern Corps issue number 15. Quest for Blue Lantern Part 2. Hal Jordan and Kyle Rayner's mission to find a Blue Lantern brings them to a world on the brink of destruction. How can they find hope in a place that's devoid of any? Meanwhile, the Green Lantern Corps begins to track down the most dangerous members of Sinestro Corps, but Guy Gardner flies off to settle his own grudge. I wonder what that could be. Art done by Ethan Van Sciver and Robert Venditti. I'm just glad we're getting all the Lantern rings back in here. We've seen the blue, we've seen red, we've seen orange. White, orange, yellow, of course green. We're missing about two or three.
Yeah,
more.
We've not seen Star Sapphire
and
or
Indigo. Lantern.
Indigo.
And if I'm hoping we don't see the Black Lanterns, because that's just trouble for the whole universe.
Yeah, cool. Were they ever in anything other than Blackest Night?
Not that I know of. That was the only time we saw them.
Okay.
And I think that's how the White Lanterns came about, was after that. So
yeah. Well, there's only one White Lantern, just like there's only one orange.
Right. Which, you know what? I'm fine with that. We don't need any more. If we had any more for the White Lanterns, they would have to be very pure apart.
Exactly. So, next up we have Justice League of America number 1. Meet the Extremists, self-proclaimed saviors of from another Earth. They thirst for peace, prosperity, and total submission to the will of their leader, Lord Havoc. How can the newly assembled JLA stop this group of misguided maniacs before the extremists unleash their own unique, not to mention dangerous, brand of law and order on our chaotic world? Art is done by Joe Prado and Ivan Reese, and is written by Steve Orlando.
Cool. Next we have The Flash, issue number 17. This Rogues books has been... They're good for Flash fans. These things are really nice. Rogues Reloaded finale. Last one. In the epic conclusion, the Rogues defeat the Flash. Or so they think. To save the day, Barry Allen's got to go take down the mastermind behind the Rogues' ultimate heist. The original Rogue. The one who always got away. That's right. The Flash versus Captain Cold. Art done by Carmine D. Giadomingo and David Gina Felince. And written by Joshua Williams.
Then we're moving on to Hellblazer number 7, The Smokeless Fire Part 1.
After watching Justice League Dark, it's nice to get Hellblazer in the comics. Again, he's such a great character.
Constantine once heard a ghost story in a Parisian bar, and maybe the old man wasn't just telling tales. So he takes Mercury in search of the only man who knows who's encountered the djinn. Problem is, they're not the only people looking. Art by Philip Tan and written by Simon Oliver.
Cool. And then we got Wonder Woman issue number 17, The Truth Part 2. As Wonder Woman picks up the pieces of her shattered psyche, Barbara Ann Minerva walks into the Devil's Lair to defend her. Or is she being led into God Watch's trap? Art done by Liam Sharp and Greg Rucka. Now, this is Cheetah coming back. I'm hoping she can still stay somewhat friends with Wonder Woman, whatever's going to happen. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Well, we round out today, finally, with Teen Titans number 5. Damian Knows Best finale. The final showdown between the Teen Titans and the Demon's Fist is here. Will the Teen Titans rally behind their little leader? And will Ra's al Ghul let anyone walk away alive? Art by Wade Von Graubadger and Koi Pham, and it's written by Benjamin Percy. And that's the last book for the week.
We got some good things to expect from next week.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of choices out there. Plus, there's a couple of other books that aren't on our normal pull list that I'm looking at, because you got Future Quest next week and a couple of other ones.
Mm-hmm. Good week to be a comic book fan.
Oh, yeah. Expensive week to be a comic book fan.
Say that again.
That brings us to the end of another show. So we had a lot of news this week, a lot of good stuff. There's some huge comic things on the horizon, and it's cool to see get some more information about Black Lightning.
Yeah, the one thing I did not cover, we did not cover this week. I meant to bring it up, but figured we won't know until we get a actual saying from them. Right now, it's just a rumor. Didn't feel like it was that important. Ben Affleck, they said, dropped out as even playing Batman, but I still think that's a rumor.
Yeah, the rumor I've seen is that he's thinking about it.
Yeah, and I've heard that from the beginning, and that was a rumor. So, if he is, although I did hear, if he is thinking about dropping out, he cannot drop out until they finish the Batman film and the Justice League movie. Now, maybe by the second film of Justice League Part 2, they might have to switch someone out, but he'll at least be for these next two films. He has to finish his track on that.
Yeah, I saw that on the list too, but I'm not sure how much rumor that is and what is, what isn't, you know?
Right. That's, like I said, just rumors, speculation right now. Until they say it from Warner Brothers or the mouth of Batman, or he is Batman still. Ben Affleck, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah. So, but I think that's everything we have that I had on my list. That's everything you had on your list, right?
Yep.
So, Vernon, why don't you let everybody know where they can get a hold of us?
On Twitter, guys, you can find us at Superpowers DC, and I just want to say thank you for everybody that's following us. Superpowers at DC.
Yeah, that's been blowing up.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of followers, so thank you guys. On our Instagram and our Facebook feed, it is DC Superpowers Podcast, and we're also getting a couple more followers on our Instagram, so I thank everybody that's out there and supporting us. We appreciate all of your love and support. On mine, you can find me at Howlin' at Wolf for Instagram, Twitter, VLO, and Facebook, Vernon McLean Moore. And everybody that's also contacting me from the show and supporting me there, once again, love it. Don't stop, and I'll keep sending out my love to you guys and our appreciation with all the good stuff we have. Also, check out our iTunes and leave some reviews. We're going to be sending out some gifts for anybody once you reach 10, and we'll pick randomly from there. We got some good stuff, and we got some more stuff coming for you guys. This is our way of saying thank you.
Exactly. And you can always find us also at DCSuperpowersPodcast@gmail.com. And we're also on the Tangent Bound and the Weebie Geeks networks. Another thing is, we've been tossing around the idea of the first couple shows we did back a year. It's almost been a year, Vernon.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy?
We got another month or so before we hit the 1 year mark.
Wow.
But we're throwing around the idea of possibly starting to record these live, or going live on Mixlr.com when we record. We need to know some, find out from you guys. Let us know on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, email, anything. Get a hold of us. Let us know if we actually were broadcasting live while we recorded, would you listen? Now, Mixlr is an awesome platform. You can actually listen to us. You'll hear us live. It won't be edited at all. We don't do a whole lot of editing on this anyway, but the editing I do to clean it up, you would hear all the raw audio. And there's also a chat window sitting there, so you can actually talk to us and to each other while the show is running. So if it's an idea you like, or if it's something you think we should look into further, let us know. So we want to make this, you guys, as part of this show also.
Mm-hmm.
So
always just going to get to us a little bit closer.
Exactly. So did you have anything else, Vernon?
That was it.
Okay, so... Well, Vernon, we'll see you next week, and Super Friends, we'll see you next week, too.
You're listening to a Weebie Geeks Network podcast.